Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm cracking up. Am I just paranoid? Am I just dumb?
I mean, you kind of have to get to that part. You know, this, some songs, it's just wrong to interrupt them until you get to the payoff, right? Oh, man. Good enough, good. And, you know, we'll just play Green Day all day. It'll be fine. There you go. I like it. So back to the President Trump town hall on CNN the other day, which I know makes you very happy, Candy. I can't believe you watched it. Why would you do that to yourself?
My husband just
likes
to. He's like, how can you be a Republican? Can I say what he said, or is that awful?
I don't know. Whatever you want to say.
He asked if I wanted to paint a...
No, don't say
okay,
that.
Something say awful on awful. The door. And, yeah.
I know. So during this, my take on this town hall is I actually thought it was good journalism by CNN. Here's why. They told the truth about Trump in trying to tell the truth about the things he lied about. And again, I think he believes his lies, so it's not lies. Like, a lie is when you know it's false and you tell it anyway. I think he really believes some of the nonsense that he says. And, of course, a lot of what he says is true, too. I'm just saying, like people tag him with being a liar, and I think he's self-deceived, you know, which is very different from being, like, somebody who knows something is false and telling it anyway. But back to the point, they confronted him on that stuff, but that's not the value of the journalism. The journalism is you saw who he is. Love him or hate him, you saw who he is. People who hate him saw this and thought, that's why I hate him. People who love him saw this and said, that's why I love him. Well, that means they're telling the truth about him as a candidate, right? Same for the audience. The audience was made up of Republicans and undecideds, people who might vote in the Republican primary. In their state, that's how it works. And I thought you got a good slice of the audience, too. CNN's been incredibly criticized over the decision to air this town hall. I think they did a service to the public. I think they showed truth about both the audience, who people are that like him, and a slice of the American electorate that doesn't get shown a lot. So back to the actual topics, though. Here's one about Ukraine.
The current administration has made it clear that we should continue to provide military equipment to Ukraine so that they can defend themselves. Do you support this decision? And how would you deal with the increasing threat posed by Vladimir Putin?
First of all, thank you very much. It's really nice. And it's an important question, so important, because we're giving away so much equipment. We don't have ammunition for ourselves right now. We're giving away so much. But here's the thing. I have to say it to start off. No longer matters. If I were president, this would have never happened. And even the Democrats admit that. Putin knew it would have never happened. And his pipeline would have never happened. A lot of things would have never happened. But this would never have happened. And all those dead people, both Russian and Ukrainian, they wouldn't be dead today. And all those cities that are blown up and disintegrated right to the ground, that wouldn't have happened. Okay.
So that's, and which I think has been his stance. And I think there's a lot of people who agree. I agree with that. I don't think Putin would have done this under Trump. He certainly did it because he perceived Biden to be weak. After the withdrawal from Afghanistan, in case you don't remember, he talked about the $171 billion that America has spent versus the $20 billion that the EU has spent, which does not seem fair to him.
But the question here is, would you give Ukraine weapons and funding if you were
elected? I would sit down. Let me just put it a nicer way. If I'm president, I will have that war settled in one day, 24 hours.
How would you settle that war in one day?
Because I'll meet with Putin, I'll meet with Zelensky. They both have weaknesses and they both have strengths. And within 24 hours, that war will be settled. It'll be over. It'll be absolutely over.
Do you want
over.
Ukraine to win this war?
I don't think in terms of winning and losing. I think in terms of getting it settled so we stop killing all these people and breaking down.
It's such an interesting slice into his perspective on this that he just wants the killing to stop. He's not willing to get baited into her black and white question. But she keeps pressing on it.
Mr. President, can I just follow up on that? Because that's a really important statement.
Excuse me, let me just follow up.
Can you say if you want Ukraine or Russia to win this war?
I want everybody to stop dying. They're dying, Russians and Ukrainians. I want them to stop dying. And I'll have that done. I'll have that done in 24 hours. I'll have it done. You need the power of the presidency to do it.
But you won't say that you want Ukraine to win.
You know what I'll say? I'll say this. I want Europe to put up more money because they're in for $20 billion. We're in for $170
and they should be.
And they should equalize. They have plenty of money. They should equalize.
You know, again, I think his perspective on the world is I've got power. I can make deals. I can get things done through threats and carrots and sticks, and I can solve this problem. Now, whether you think he's outrageous for saying he can settle it in a day or not, you certainly, I think even his critics would have to say he's got a better chance of bringing something to the table that would resolve this than Biden does. Because Biden thinks in the same way she thinks, which is win-lose. You got to have this certain end result. And he's, well, I'll negotiate. So, and you know, she keeps pressing him on like, well, would Putin be a war criminal? And he says, how does it help to designate him a war criminal? If you designate him a war criminal, you entrench him and make him defensive. And then how do we work with him? So this is a good example of how people like Caitlin Collins, who, again, I think she did generally a very good job in this, can't grasp the way he's thinking about the world. And even though there are things about Trump that drive me absolutely crazy, his ability to negotiate, think tactically, and work on the world stage with despots he understands, I think you can't say he's actually got that skill. It's an important skill for a president. 616 News Radio 92.3 Transgressors comes up in a moment. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And this is brought to you by Avalon HR. With everything going on, you need Avalon. It's employing made easy. And Schmuckla Highway, Woodbine, and Berryhill all clear. Not showing any problems there. Cervantes clear through the curve on Scenic right now. And again, East Bay Boulevard and Navarre closed south of Copple as they work on the drainage improvement project going on through the end of the month. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find: a church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, "Oh, good, it's time to go to church." For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959 or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
Newsmax is conducting an urgent poll asking if it was right for Fox News to fire Tucker. Do you want Tucker back on TV? Let us know what you think. Vote in the Newsmax poll. Just text us now. Text the word RESPOND to 39747. That's RESPOND to 39747. Let your voice be heard. Text RESPOND to 39747. Millions made the switch to Newsmax. You can too. Texting enrolls for automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. Let's have a rendezvous. This week, Gretch Lyles and the Modern Eldorados take the stage at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, bringing country and rock and roll the way it used to be to Bands on the Beach. Plus, don't miss out on shopping at the Gulfside Market. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7.
Dependable traffic on the fives with local news at the top and bottom of each hour on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, Swastika Mountain in Oregon, which has now officially been renamed as Mount Halo by the U.S. Board on Geographic Names. Now, even though this swastika name had come from the local town of Swastika, which drew its source from the cattle brand of a local rancher some 30 years prior to the Nazis, and of course, billions of Buddhists, Hindus, and Jains have used the swastika as a symbol of peace and good fortune for over 5,000 years, none of that matters. People today who do not know history think swastikas are for Nazis, and that's all there is to it. As Liebenhaus' treatise on the effective rewriting of history teaches us, the point is not what actually happened in history. The point is to not offend the feelings of those who do not know what actually happened in history. Now, although we do appreciate the effort to rename this highly offensive mountain as Halo in honor of local person of indigenous heritage Chief Halito of the Yankala Kalapuya tribe, we do have a concern. In adapting his name to the more Americanized Halo, we foresee a problem. Some people might, in their ignorance, think this is a reference to the Christian religion's concept of angels coming from high places like mountains and being represented by halos. As such, the name unfortunately carries too much whiff of entanglement between church and state, let alone being pro-Christian. And we recommend another change in 2 to 4 years to a more permanent moniker. Perhaps something completely bland like Mount Mountain, or aspirational like Mount Hope and Change, or educational, such as the mountain formerly known as Mount Swastika and then for a time known as Mount Halo but now known as Mount Equity, or something that will stand forever, such as Mount Gender Affirming Care, or if we're just trying to play it safe, Mountain Number 6. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Liam Morrison, the obnoxious little 12-year-old who dared wear a shirt to his Massachusetts middle school with the words, "There are only two genders," emblazoned on it. Yes, I know, this is a very hurtful sentence, even for me to say out loud, let alone for the tender ears of our beloved otherin in the congregation today to have to hear me say. Not only did this little transphobic twerp wear the shirt to school, no thought at all given to the pain he was causing the people who aren't even students there but might have heard about it on social media, but when told to change it by the wise administrators, he refused. But wait, there's more. He even had the audacity to take his unrepentant cis sexism to the local school board meeting and tell them he has the right to free speech, just like everyone else in his school.
"I have been told that my shirt was targeting a protected class. Who is this protected class? Are their feelings more important than my rights? I don't complain when I see pride flags and diversity posters hung throughout the school. Do you know why? Because others have a right to their beliefs just as I do."
What planet do you think this is? Where did he get this absurd idea that all viewpoints are to be treated equally? School is a place where we indoctrinate students into the right ways of thinking and protect them from violent attacks on their gender identity, like the words on Liam's shirt.
"On that Tuesday morning, I was taken out of gym class to sit down with two adults for what turned out to be a very uncomfortable talk. I was told that people were complaining about the words on my shirt, that my shirt was making some students feel unsafe. Yes, words on a shirt made people feel unsafe."
Does he not understand the violence of language? The threatening tone that false ideas convey? The felt pain of those poor victims of his t-shirt who might hear about it at other schools? I just don't know where to begin. Now, as to the question of science, an immediate change was of course made to the 7th grade biology curriculum so as to properly re-educate all the 12-year-olds as to the real truth about gender fluidity and pansexuality. We only hope we aren't too late to correct the errors apparently flourishing in the darkest corners of the Massachusetts middle school system. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, let us all take a moment to consider the outstanding work being done by the first openly lesbian and BIPOC White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, especially in the arena of working to ban guns in America. Now, we know that the problem is that all too many Americans believe that gun ownership is a constitutional right, and so their long, difficult re-education is going to require a lot of patience. But we are so proud of the Biden administration's continual efforts to misuse words for the purpose of making gun owners feel uncomfortable with their mistaken beliefs.
"Today, Washington State has become the 10th state in the nation, alongside Washington, D.C., to ban assault weapons and get weapons of war off America's streets."
Now look, even though we don't like to admit it, we certainly understand that the guns we hate aren't really weapons of war, okay? Obviously, no U.S. Marines or Army are going to deploy into combat with a rifle that can only fire one shot at a time. That hasn't been true since the M1 of World War II. But because our goal is to trick Americans into allowing us to restrict and ultimately take away their guns, the first step is to confuse them and use fear to activate their confusion into submission. And the best way we do this is by abusing words, just as we're taught by the fifth core precept of St. Orwell the Just. He who controls the words people speak controls the thoughts the nation thinks. And control their thoughts, we will. Therefore, we must continue to misuse terms related to guns, and the more exotic sounding the terms are, the better. Thus, we should actively sprinkle our talk with phrases like weapons of war, bump stock, stabilizer brace, high caliber, straw purchase, gun show loophole, lower receiver, barrel shroud, mass casualty, pistol grip, active shooter, flash suppressor, semi-automatic, high-capacity magazine, assault weapon, and of course, our official word of the year for 2022, ghost gun. Kudos to Jimmy McMillan of Chicago First United Woketopian Church of Alinsky Reformed Precinct 3 for that brilliant contribution to the cause. Yes, even though most of us don't actually know what these words mean, the important thing is to use them with confidence and misuse them whenever possible, which I know most of you will do anyway, precisely because so few of us even know what they mean. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Now, before we close, let us also take a moment as an inclusive congregation to celebrate the pending wedding nuptials of our dear members Doug Johnson Smith Corning and Todd Corning Johnson Smith and Mark Smith Corning Johnson, who have recently decided to expand their loving and holy throuple by entering into official pentamory with Gary Fillmore, who of course last year married his beloved green lazy boy Sofa. Gary and his Sofa will be moving in with Doug, Todd, and Mark at their beanbag commune in Poughkeepsie following the ceremony, with all agreeing to adopt the same last name of Johnson Smith Corning Fillmore Lazy Boy. Gift registry is open at Rooms to Go. Also, there will be no refreshments today as we continue our fasting in solidarity with all the residents of urban food deserts across America. But please do join us in Fellowship Hall for 10 continuous minutes of wailing and moaning, finished off with a certified happiness-free round of 14th century dirges. Tambourines optional. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
627. the looks I get from
oh
you.
Oh my God.
Candy.
About gender affirming care. Was it a beanbag commune in Poughkeepsie?
That's right. That's right. They're open. They're taking applications.
You're just mocking the whole thing. Thanks, Captain Obvious.
You want to give traffic?
I guess. Okay. Roads are fine this morning. East Bay Boulevard, Navarre closed to South Acopla as part of the ongoing drainage improvement project. Chase Street, Gregory Street, looking downtown, Garden and Palafox, all checking in clear. No slowdowns. You should have an easy time of getting where you're going this morning, hopefully. Certainly, if you know different or have traffic tips or you want to tell Andrew just how cool he is, you can text 437-1620.
Or otherwise, you're always free to disagree.
Always. All of us?
Sure.
Yeah. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Finally.
Title 42 has officially expired. The COVID-era restrictions were lifted last night just before midnight Eastern. The policy allowed for migrants to be turned away at the border. With those restrictions lifted, officials are anticipating being overwhelmed by migrants. The U.S. Marine veteran that allegedly killed a homeless man in New York in the subway with a chokehold will be turning himself in today. Daniel Penny being charged with second-degree manslaughter for the death of Jordan Neely. And a spokesperson for the Manhattan District Attorney's Office says they can't provide any additional information until after an arraignment. And the debt limit meeting between President Joe Biden and other lawmakers that was scheduled for today has now been postponed. They're going to be meeting now early next week. But the Biden administration has reportedly stepped back a bit from their stance on not wanting to negotiate any spending cuts. Both sides are now looking into where some cuts could be made in the budget.
Interesting. I mean, after all, we've got lots of time. I mean, it's not like it's coming up in, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, there's not a deadline anytime soon, no.
We're not like crashing the economy in a couple of weeks or whatever, so okay. David, thanks so much for the update. 629 News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, I really, really, give Christina Leavenworth a call. Ask her what she can do for you. Be rude about it. Be like, all right, Andrew says you're awesome. Prove it to me. Okay, and she will. Okay. But, you know, I mean, seriously, she's amazing. I've known her as long as we've lived here. Great people. Anyway, she, one of the things is I always talk about how she sells houses. And that's true. Over 230 last year. You know, she had like 65, I think, 36 sold and 29 under contract as of April 1st. And that was like over a month ago. So, like, really, really proliferate in selling. But on the buy side, same thing. Like, She understands how sellers think, what they need, what price can be had, what can and can't be negotiated, what other people are going to bid to win in the competitive environment. Anyway, she can help you buy or sell a home. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
The Milton City Council has rejected a city social media policy. More after Fox.
Angelosi. Title 42 ended at midnight, and a group of senators headed to the border to get a look at the masses of people waiting across the Rio Grande, lining international bridges and filling immigration processing centers.
The nation needs to see this. This is why President Biden needs to come and look one of these camps in the eyes and see for himself the tragedy that's ongoing here.
It's Kansas Senator Roger Marshall. Meanwhile, a federal judge in Florida strikes down the Biden administration's plan to mass release migrants without court dates, writing that without removal proceedings or vetting, it would be no different than a plan by the administration that was ruled unconstitutional back in March. In New York City, Marine veteran Daniel Penny is set to turn himself into the Manhattan District Attorney's Office today and face manslaughter charges for the subway chokehold death of Jordan Neely. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31, News Radio 92.3 at 73, partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. Well, calling it an effort to censor opinions and attack First Amendment rights, the Milton City Council was unanimous in rejecting a city social media policy.
I think one of the reasons I was elected was because the voters respected my opinions. And I feel that I can self-monitor my behavior without self-censoring my behavior.
Councilmember Marilyn Farrow and the rest of the city council in Milton all voted 8-0 against the social media policy. The proposal introduced by Mayor Heather Lindsay would have made city employees and elected officials agree not to present personal views as those of the city as a whole and to refrain from many posts that would adversely affect the reputation of the city or a city department. An Escambia County man sentenced for killing another man with a propane tank 2 years ago. The city or the state attorney's office, rather, says 36-year-old Timothy Johnson received the maximum sentence of 15 years in prison after being found guilty of manslaughter in March. Back in July 17th of 2021, Johnson was at a bar in Century when he got into an argument with a man and hit him over the head with a steel propane tank. The victim was hospitalized but died from his injuries 11 days later. Florida residents aren't going to have to worry about losing their jobs if they don't want to take a COVID test or wear a mask. Governor DeSantis signed a bill making it illegal for businesses to force employees to take those tests or to get a COVID vaccine or wear masks. It also prohibits businesses from requiring proof of vaccination for entry, and schools also can't require masks to enter their buildings. Violators can be fined up to $5,000 for each infraction. Just over 1 week ago, the city of Pensacola opened up that brand new Blake Doyle skate park. Despite a few concerns about after-hours use, PPD says so far it hasn't caused any real problems.
Well, so far so good. You know, like you said, we're coming in and out of that Jackson Street entrance 24 hours a day, and we're able to keep an eye on that. And not only that, officers getting out on foot and walking through the park quite often.
And that's PPD's Mike Wood, who says they'll be enforcing whatever rules city leaders decide are best for that park. The debate continues on whether the open hours should be extended beyond the current rule of dawn to dusk. They're also considering whether that park should possibly have an operator or some type of an attendant on duty. And the Palafox Market is expanding this week into a new area in downtown Pensacola. The Palafox Market South will be including a blend of your familiar Palafox Market vendors with some new vendors as well. They'll be filling up the Plaza Ferdinand on the corner of Palafox and Government. Shoppers can navigate between the new market and the original, located at Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza. every Saturday between 9 and 2. And it is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
We're not showing any slowdowns or delays right now. A little slow. This is eastbound I-10. It looks like, okay, never mind. That has been moved off to the side. You're fine. It looks like everything's going fine. All exits off I-10, I-110 now reporting as clear. No problems on the General Chappie James. That is the 3-mile bridge. No problems anywhere right now. Certainly if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, please text it in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you, Candy. And now a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We're going to be seeing a beautiful, warm, humid day today with temperatures rising near 85 degrees. Small chance of a few afternoon showers and thunderstorms, 20% chance of rain. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72. As you go into Saturday, 10% chance of showers with a high near 85. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 71. For Mother's Day Sunday, 20% chance of rain in the afternoon, high near 88. Low on Sunday night near 73. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now it's 73 in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, 68 in Milton. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Twitter will soon have a new leader. CEO Elon Musk tweeted yesterday he's found a new chief executive to run Twitter, and she will be starting in about 6 weeks. The Wall Street Journal has reported that woman is expected to be Linda Yaccarino, NBC Universal's head of advertising. At another Musk-run company, Tesla, investors cheered the news that he'll have more time for the electric vehicle maker. Shares of Tesla gained 2% yesterday, and they're trading another 2% higher pre-market. While there will always be a need for kids to go to school, so there will always be a need for transportation to get them there. School bus maker Blue Bird is raising its sales outlook after saying its turnaround plan is ahead of schedule. And I guess there were more school buses purchased. Second quarter results beat expectations, sending the stock 33% higher pre-market. On Wall Street, stocks are trying to rebound on a volatile week as futures lift modestly higher. The pre-market gains led by regional banks. That's Your Money Now.
If you own a small to medium-sized business that kept employees on payroll through COVID, you may have a big cash refund waiting for you. The Employee Retention Credit is a tax credit of up to $26,000 per employee. And now, more businesses than ever qualify. The experts at RefundsPro.com specialize in cutting through the red tape of qualifying for this government program. Most of their refunds are over $100,000. Even businesses that have received PPP funds may be eligible. And there are absolutely no fees unless you receive a refund, so there's no reason not to apply. If your business experienced shutdowns, limited capacity, supply chain challenges, or reduced revenue due to COVID, you likely qualify. RefundsPro.com has already helped hundreds of businesses, so don't lose the refund you're owed by missing the deadline. Get started today with a free 5-minute questionnaire at RefundsPro.com. That's Refunds with an S, Pro.com.
Monday morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Get better health with scientifically proven technology that's not going to the gym, diet supplements, pharmaceuticals, or medical treatment. Hear how OsteoStrong helps many improve bone density, posture, balance, athletic performance, and less joint and back pain. Find out more Monday morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
If you haven't been to Home Outlet, you're missing out on the best value on kitchens, baths, floors, and more. You could be saving big on your kitchen remodel with in-stock cabinets starting at $78 per linear foot and in-stock countertops starting at just $63. And with the guaranteed lowest price, you can be sure you're getting the best value for your project dollar. Visit us in-store or shop online for in-store pickup at homeoutlet.com.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
begin to see these priorities from this framework emphasized when it comes down to scoring. And the closer your community's plan is aligned with this federal framework and priorities at the local level, the better you will score, the better you score, the more money that will come to your community. And so it's really important that you understand what our priorities are at the federal level.
So this is Dr. Joe Savage. He is the regional representative for the USICH, the United States Interagency Council on Homelessness, and that oversees 19 different federal agencies and all of their efforts to solve homelessness, because the problem is they were all kind of siloed into their separate compartments, and Veterans Affairs wouldn't necessarily talk to HUD, wouldn't necessarily talk to other, you know, like that's been the problem, is that nobody works together. And so this Interagency Council on Homelessness was designed to bring all of those efforts under one roof and make sure that they're working in the same direction, rowing together, so to speak. And he says, look, he came to speak to the joint meeting of the city council and the county commission in Escambia County. Weirdest meeting ever. Because it was basically a presentation by him, and then that was it, and they stopped. And there was no conversation, no discussion. It was like you literally could have sent a YouTube link to all the commissioners and the council members, and they could have just watched that. And he gave another presentation later to the homeless advocacy agencies, and then he gave another one at night to Civicon. The same general message to all three. But, you know, he says that, look, there's one source, really one primary source for the homelessness uptick that we've seen recently.
This is the huge issue. This is the issue that we're often seeing in the media. This is the issue that we're seeing on the national stage, the rise in unsheltered homelessness. And the number one issue that is causing the rise in unsheltered homelessness is the lack of affordable housing and low wages and poverty. A lot of people think the main cause of unsheltered homelessness is drug addiction. That is not the main cause. That is a cause that is lower on the list in terms of leading to homelessness. But the rise in unsheltered homelessness that we are seeing across this country has to do with the lack of affordable housing, rising rents, and there's no increase in what we would call what would be a living wage.
And so now, look, he's the expert, and more to the point, he represents the Biden administration, and the Biden administration is the one spending the money. And so the whole takeaway from this presentation is, if you align with what we are trying to do, it succeeded when it came to military homelessness, which we have veteran homelessness, which we've decreased by over 50% in the last, I think the time frame was about a decade or maybe a little bit less than that. But it works when we fund it. And if we can get Congress to give us money to do this outside of veterans, it'll work there too. But I know for me, as a conservative, I'm listening to some of the things that he's saying, and I have problems with it. But he says things like, don't criminalize homelessness. You know, homelessness is something that happens to people. And, you know, so when you criminalize, you know, thinking about like the blanket ban or camping bans or things like that, or panhandling, it's like, look, if you criminalize the behaviors that homeless people engage in, then what? You arrest them, you put them in jail, and that costs more money. Now, as a conservative, I'm very sympathetic to that argument. You know, let's solve the problem. He also says one of the big challenges in the field, in the space, is burnout by the people who work in this area, because it's overwhelming, and with the pandemic making everything harder and worse, much like you hear with nursing, right? Same basic problem, but you know, you're dealing with a difficult population and people get burnt out, so finding a way to rejuvenate them. Now, I mentioned he is clearly a very left-leaning Democrat. That doesn't mean he can't be right, and doesn't mean he doesn't control the funding. Just saying that came across in several of the things that he was mentioning.
And then, of course, the focus on racial equity. We know that persons of color are disproportionately impacted by the issue of homelessness, and we know what has led to that disproportionate impact. This country has a history of institutional and systemic racism that has really caused a huge disparity when it comes down to income, when it comes down to wealth, when it comes down to home ownership, when it comes down to access to housing and services.
And so from his perspective and the perspective of the council is working on fixing what they call the racial equity problems and the, you know, systemic racism. Look, there absolutely is a history of racism against black people when it comes to housing in this country. There is zero doubt. You cannot argue that point. The question is how much that is today related to problems that you see with homelessness among blacks. And I think that's much less obvious of a connection than he wants to make it. But I think you certainly can say you see affordable housing be a problem that more directly affects blacks, because blacks tend to be poor more often, and it certainly affects poor people. So there are some overlaps. The question is whether it is today being reinforced structurally by the system itself, or whether those are the lingering effects of systemic racism in the past, or whether it's that blended with something else. And this is, you know, complex stuff. But again, his goal is to simply get us to recognize, to believe that housing shortage is the main problem. Money can solve this problem, and it's worked with veterans. Let's do what worked with veterans with other population groups. We'll continue with this in just a second. Let's get Candy in here with traffic on the fives.
And good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays. Taking a look on Fairfield, Davis, not showing any problems there. Looks like everything is fine. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Dr. Joe Savage talking to the joint meeting of the City Council and Escambia County Commission this week.
If you ever study the history of social welfare policy, social welfare policy in this country started out with this understanding of the worthy and the unworthy poor. You have people who are living in poverty, but there's the worthy poor and there's the unworthy poor. The worthy poor are those who were poor because of circumstances beyond their control, the person who lost a spouse, the orphan who lost its parents. But then you have the unworthy poor, those who were dealing with a drug addiction, those who were dealing with mental illness, even the person that may have been fleeing a domestic violence situation. The unworthy poor were viewed as being in their circumstances as a result of their moral flaw, as a result of their moral failure. So when social welfare started in this country, it was geared towards the worthy poor and not the unworthy poor.
Which is it's hard to get yourself out of thinking about it that way, right? Because you want to say, you know, this woman fled with her kids from her abusive husband, I will help her. This man chose to use drugs, got addicted, and now he's homeless, I won't help him, right? That's what all of us want to believe. We want to distinguish between the people who merit help and the people who don't merit the help. Because unlike, I don't know, thinking in a godly way, you want to help everybody. You know, unmerited favor is kind of what we all deserve. That's a mindset that I think we all have to some degree. So I appreciate him talking about that historical distinction, because trying to untangle that distinction in your head is a difficult thing.
Why am I talking about this? Because that perception still exists today within our country, within our Congress. So even when it comes down to resources, think about it. Veterans, they served our country. They are the worthy poor when it comes down to homelessness. But these other subpopulations aren't considered to be the worthy poor.
Yeah, and he's right. And you're getting Congress to change their mind on that.
So we have to understand that, number one, homelessness is not the result of someone's moral failure. Poverty is not the result of someone's moral failure. We have significant systemic issues in this country when it comes down to our social safety net. We have significant issues when it comes down to income and a living wage. But when we put that aside and we decide we want to give the resources to get people off the street and into housing, we can make significant progress.
See, I want the outcome, but I don't feel like I'm willing to give up entirely the idea that some people do, in fact, make choices that cause them these problems. And some people have earned the outcome, right? I do believe that. But that's also because I disagree with him about something else he said a little bit later in the presentation.
So you're going to see housing first weave throughout the federal strategic plan, because we want communities to understand that housing is a right. Housing is a human right. Housing isn't something that you earn based on good behavior. Housing isn't something that you have to come to deserve once you get your issues together. Housing is a basic human right.
Yeah, see, I couldn't disagree with you more, because in the world of ethics that I inhabit, a right puts a claim on somebody else. I have a right to free speech. Therefore, I can claim against you that you cannot interfere with me speaking. Okay. Rights have claims. If you have a right to housing, that means you are entitled to other people providing it for you if you don't work. And I have a problem with that. So I don't talk about this as a right. Is it a good thing? Sure. Does everybody need it? Sure. Does that obligate me as a fellow taxpayer to give to you to have it? No. That's where we distinguish things. That's where I have a problem with his way of thinking. But still, again, he controls the purse strings, or his organization controls the purse strings, and understanding the way they think about it is useful for us if we want to put our programs in a position to be able to receive the kinds of funds that the federal government is giving to solve this particular problem. So aligning with them, you know, that's the idea. Again, based on their pattern of success with veterans, we're wanting to do that. And so the goal of All In, that's the federal program as it's called right now, the All In Initiative Against Homelessness, is to reduce it by 25% by 2025. And one of the things I thought was interesting, a lot of things that were interesting in this presentation. One was they are no longer thinking about subgroups of homeless, victims of domestic violence, alcohol abusers, drug abusers, felons, you know, released criminals, okay, veterans. They're not thinking in these categories. They're just thinking as a whole population, and they're solving it based on that whole population, largely by thinking about it as kind of a manufacturing pipeline, you know, the end result of which is somebody who's homeless and in need of services, and what are the steps that they go through to get to that. And the first big step, he thinks, their mindset is housing shortage, housing lack, low wages, inability to afford housing. And so keeping people in the homes they already have, basically at almost any cost, in order to prevent them from transitioning into homelessness, and then diverting them, which is the second best option. When they're on the verge of it, can we find some other solution for them? But this was also something particularly interesting in the presentation, was that he's saying you want to include in whatever initiative you're going to do, in whatever council you create, your overseeing agency, your grant applying agency, your continuum of care, you want to involve people who, his words are, have lived experience or have been or are homeless. And not just were, but are, because...
And when we talk about inclusive decision making, one of the things that I often emphasize, that doesn't mean you hold a focus group of persons who are experiencing homelessness, you get their feedback, and then you take it back and you consider it. No, involve them in the actual decision-making processes. Involve them in the actual governance structure to make sure that that's inclusive.
In other words, don't just take the advice and input of homeless people, put them on the agency that's making decisions. Empower them to be part of the process, not just because they're smart enough to know the problem enough to vote appropriately, and that you want their input, but also because that's one of the key check marks in scoring, so that when you go to the federal government and apply for the money, they'll look and see, well, do you have homeless people involved in this process on the council? And if you do, that's a big bonus in your scoring. You're more likely to get the money. So it's, like I said, it's going to be a bit of a mind warp, I think, for a lot of people to adapt what we're trying to do in Escambia County to this process, this way of doing things. But as D.C. Reeves said, if we want the money, we have to do it their way. And based on their track record with veterans and homelessness, you got to believe this has probably got a pretty good chance of succeeding. Also, he gave a really interesting side note. Kudos to D.C.
The fact that Mayor Reeves called me, that was impressive. I don't get calls from mayors that say they're, you know, concerned about homelessness. That does not happen often. And so really use the political support that you have in your community.
That D.C. is weird that D.C. actually called him and said, hey, can you come to town and explain this to our people so that we can all get on the same page? And I am sure that some of the commissioners and perhaps some of the city council members were irritated at the presentation because of some of the, you know, liberal stuff that was in there. I think they're probably irritated at the fact that it was just watch the presentation. You don't get to talk. Don't let that get in your way, folks, if you're listening. You know, think long and hard about the idea of, can we do this in a way that fits with what they're doing so that we can get the money that they're offering? Because that's the reason D.C. brought him to town. 653 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about a project in your home, fixing, rebuilding, or remodeling, or expanding, whatever, Pensacola Hardware, they're fantastic. And listen, I dare you, right? I dare you to go there. If you've not been there before, go and do two things. First of all, just look around, and you know, beyond that, you'll thank me. Because if you just go look around and be like, oh, this place is amazing. But second of all, ask. Ask them a question. You know, how should I do this? Is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? And they will show the vast expertise they have in this area. This is the place you go to talk to the experts, Pensacola Hardware. They have been doing this since 1851, and the institutional knowledge is amazing. Right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since before the Civil War.
ECUA's free Recycling Coach app is here. Discover which materials are recyclable, receive automatic reminders on waste collections, schedules, and holiday update, and use the report a problem feature to schedule a special pickup or report a missed pickup. What's more, there's educational information on a wide variety of recycling topics and resources. Download the Recycling Coach app today with the App Store or Play Store. Also accessible from the ECUA website. That's ecua.fl.gov.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Hey, have you heard about the new Charter Academy at Pensacola State College?
No, what's so special about it?
Well, you can earn your high school diploma, transferable college credits, and an associate's degree all at the same time. And it's completely free. But hurry, because they're enrolling 11th and 12th graders now for August classes.
Wow, how do I get enrolled? Hi, I'm Karen McCabe, the principal at the Charter Academy. Give me a call, 484-2366, and visit us on the website, charteracademy.pensacolastate.edu.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Are you curious about marijuana? Florida A&M University established the Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, also known as MARI, to educate the public about medical marijuana use as well as the detrimental health and social impacts of unlawful marijuana use on local communities. Find out more at mmeri.famu.edu.
From county commissioner meetings to the Blues, Andrew covers it all on your morning drive on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
National average for a gallon of gas, $3.54. Florida average is $3.50. We celebrate. It's not a celebration. $3.98 in Mississippi. It's crazy. California is $4.80. In Navarre, $3.08 east and west of the Walmart. Gulf Breeze, $3.06 at the Murphy and Tiger Point across from the foot of the Garson Point Bridge. $3.19 at the Exxon in proper. $2.99 at the Raceway in Milton. $3.07 at the Murphy across from the Walmart and P Ridge. And then $3.09, it looks like, is your best price at the, well, I hope that's a real price because the Cumberland Farms is always a coin toss, because whether it's the member or non-member. $2.93 on 9 Mile at the Walmart, $3.03 at the Murphy on US 29, and then coming in from the southwest side, $3.04 at the Murphy on Navy. All right, Candy, time for traffic on the fives.
Roads are fine. We're not showing any slowdowns or delays. Yeah, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Remember, back gate of the base will be open later today. Base access today, tomorrow, and Saturday and Sunday. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former NBA champion Dwight Howard facing some criticism on Chinese social media for calling Taiwan a country. He's now a player in Taiwan's basketball league. He appeared in a video Wednesday saying he's gained a whole new appreciation of this country. That comment causing a viral backlash in China. There's a storm stalled over Texas, set to pour more than a foot of rain and create a lot of flooding there. Forecasters say that storm's going to slowly move across the state and pull a lot of moisture up from the Gulf. And Michael Jordan's warm-up jacket from the 92 Olympics Dream Team has apparently gone up for auction, Andrew. For the guy who, you know, has everything, I suppose. The Reebok jacket is estimated to bring anywhere from $1 to $3 million. It's being done on an online auction by Sotheby's in New York, and it runs through June 28th.
All right. Thanks so much, David. And by the way, viral backlash from China has a whole new meaning in the last couple of years, just saying as a phrase. Thanks for the update. 658 News Radio 92.3. Oh, this is interesting. Big news. A federal judge has ruled that one of the nation, like a state ban on 18, 19, and 20-year-olds buying guns is unconstitutional. Remember, we have that here. So that's going to be at the Supreme Court. In fact, since it's future news, Candy, what do you think? Will the Supreme Court take up the question of allowing 18, 19, 20-year-olds to buy guns under law?
I thought they already could.
No, they cannot in some places, right? Like we have it banned here.
So they can serve, but they can't buy a gun?
That's exactly right. Yep. That's
exactly the Supreme Court's going to change that.
Yeah, and I agree he'll drop that. Will Pensacola and Escambia align with the homeless initiatives from the Fed?
I hope so. We need it bad.
If we want the money, we will.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620, News Radio 92.3.